Welcome back to Rough in the Basket. I'm back in America. You know, it's good to be back. I am accompanied, as always, by Brandon Carr, and we are Rough in the Basket. We are here to bring you the AFC North prediction today, what we think is going to go down. A team from this division made it to the Super Bowl last year, and there's a lot of contenders in this division, so it's going to be interesting. But Brandon Carr, I've spoke long enough. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing great. I'm glad that you're back in the United States, back in America, flying from Colombia to the United States. So I'm glad you got home safe and whatnot. But more so even that, like, I'm glad that we're back here recording. It's been a while since we've done an episode, but we're back here with our division breakdowns, trying to get through those before the NFL season starts. So if you haven't checked out the previous ones, the AFC, what do we do? The AFC East, the South, and the West. All of those ones, you can go back and listen to those. And we're going to wrap up the AFC here today with AFC North. And then shortly after, in about a couple of days or so, you'll be seeing the start of our NFC North predictions. So we'll be getting through the NFC. And then before you guys know it, then the NFL season is going to start. So very excited for the NFL season and to just break down all these divisions. So this is the AFC North edition.
Yes, sir. On another note, I did actually go to a Patriots preseason game. Didn't get to see any of their starters, but I did get to see Saquon. Yep. And one thing that's very positive about that is he did not tear his ACL. So that's a good start, at least. Dude, his ACLs are made out of, like, plastic or something. Like, they always – I don't know. I feel like he's been injured so much over the last few years. Hopefully he bounces back this year. I have him on my fantasy team, so it's a little bit of a selfish perspective, I guess. But, you know, that's how we are as fantasy players these days. So
positive. I think I've seen a lot of positive reports about Saquon in training camp in terms of his health. So hopefully we'll get to see him kind of bounce back. We haven't really seen Saquon dominate since his rookie season. So it should be exciting. But got to see a lot of Bailey Zappi. You know, that's exciting.
I mean, he actually played pretty good. Yeah. I didn't think he played bad. I mean, he held his own. There were some throws where I was like, that's Daniel Jones-esque. You know, that's not that great of a throw.
He played a series, didn't he, Daniel Jones?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm not a big Daniel Jones guy. I'm not that impressed. He's I think this is his last season being there. He'll be replaced by week 5. Tyrod Taylor will be taking over. Bold take. Fair. But, hey, right before we get into this, one more thing I want to mention is, the punt god. We brought him up before on this show a few times. Dude, I saw first punt of his NFL career in the preseason, 82 yards. This guy's legit, bro. He's holding up to that name.
I said it, man. I said it on the Pumble and Peter's picks. Listen, Peter Alves is a big punt god guy. So I hope he saw that and just, you know, I think his punt god shares are starting to go up because that guy is an absolute freak of nature. 82-yard punt. I mean, this guy was doing this in college too. Like, this is no surprise, but Bill's got a steal, man, of a special teams ace and Matt Araiza.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't usually say that about a fifth round punter, but, you know, this is it's 2022. It's a different era in the punting universe, so it's gonna be interesting, man. But we are finally gonna get into this division. I just felt like it was necessary to bring that up because that is you don't see 82-yard punts every day.
You have to.
But, you know, so this going into this division, the Steelers, they're over under 7.5 wins, which, I mean, for me, I understand the number. I mean, considering how many contenders are in this division, you had one team, the Bengals, make the Super Bowl last year out of nowhere. You have the Ravens, who, I mean, every year it seems like they're just a few wins away from getting to that big game and getting over the hump. I mean, the Steelers every year, Mike Tomlin somehow gets his team into the playoffs. Somehow, I mean, even though last year was a little miraculous with everything that had to happen for them to get into the playoffs week 18 of the NFL season, but they made it somehow. So just to see everything that's happened over the last few years with this division and obviously the Browns now, you know, Browns are an interesting team for sure with everything that's gone on this offseason with them bringing in Deshaun Watson. But going back to the Steelers, I think the real thing that really stands out here is their three-way QB battle. From what I'm seeing now, Mitch Trubisky is most likely going to be the starter, at least to open up the season. Let me ask you this. How many times do you think we're going to see a different quarterback from the Steelers this year? You think he's going to be the guy that leads all year, or what do you think is going to happen?
I think, So I think Mitch Trubisky will be the Steelers starter starting week 1. I think he's worked the most with the first team. So I think that kind of points towards Mitch Trubisky being the week one starter for the Steelers. But look, I mean, all three have had, you know, their positives, their struggles throughout camp. Yesterday, actually, as we're recording this, they all had made their preseason debut. All of them looked pretty good. Statistical wise, I think they all played pretty well, but I think we'll see Mitch Trubisky to start, and I don't think we'll see Mason Rudolph. I think we will see Kenny Pickett at some point. I don't think the Steelers will rush him into it, though, because I don't think Mike Tomlin's job is necessarily on the line. Maybe there's a chance we see all three, and if Mitch Trubisky plays bad, they play Mason Rudolph, and they just let Kenny Pickett learn more about the NFL and have him just kind of sit and try to send him as much as they can. But yeah, I think at some point we'll probably see all three. And I think we'll start with Mitch Trubisky. And I think eventually, you know, maybe Mason Rudolph makes an appearance. He's been doing pretty good too at camp. And then you obviously have your first round rookie in Kenny Pickett. I don't think they'll rush Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin, I think, is kind of knows like you don't want to throw that rookie right under the, you know, right into the smoke, into the fire. So I think he'll probably look towards Mitch Trubisky and then kind of ease Kenny Pickett into that starting role. Maybe we don't see Kenny Pickett at all, but I do think we'll see him at some point. And look, the Steelers are going to be that team that they'll find ways to win games. They always seem to do it. They did it last year when Big Ben was pretty much kind of on his last leg in terms of his career. So I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. It's like last year, Ben Roethlisberger definitely did not have his best season ever. Was the goodbye tour. I mean, he announced, I think, midseason that he wasn't going to be playing anymore past the season. And, I mean, he stayed true to his word, unlike Tom Brady, unlike some other legends out there. And, you know, it's probably for the best. I think that he was definitely at the end of his rope, and you could start to see that he was just his body was starting to collapse. But you really look at this team, and it's not like they're rebuilding or something. I think a lot of people have like the false assumption that they're like rebuilding or something because of Big Ben. They're still very well equipped. I mean, you go down this team, Najee Harris last year, one of the best rookie running backs. And this year, probably going to take another big step forward. I mean, Deontay Johnson, I don't want to say he's one of the best wide receivers in the league, but he can hold his own. He's a top 20 guy. Mm-hmm. Chase Claypool, he's had his big moments. I believe he had a 4-touchdown game, or maybe that was Deontay Johnson. I can't remember, but there's been, you know, a lot of wide receivers there that have gone in there and contributed. I don't really have a problem with their wide receivers. I think George Pickens can contribute almost immediately as well. I mean, Pat Freiermuth last season had a big year, big breakout season. And I mean, you go through this offensive line, they're not terrible by any means. And then, you know, you go to the defensive side of the ball and it's just a bunch of veterans. I mean, you have TJ Watt, who last year tied the NFL sack record. Technically, I mean, if you want more on that information, go to Roughing the Basket Instagram. I actually put out a video about that. This
good plug right there. I like that.
But yeah, we'll get into that on the Instagram. You can check that out. But anyways, tied the record last year. Devin Bush is no slouch. I mean, they have Miles Jack, Minka Fitzpatrick. These are all names that are like they've been all pros before. They've been up there with you know, the best of the best. Even Cameron Hayward. I think this is a team that their defense always seems to kind of figure it out, and they're a really tough hitting team. I can't see this team going under 8 wins. I think 8 wins is their bottom. I think their ceiling is around 10 wins. I mean, you can't rule out the Pittsburgh Steelers any season. I remember a few years back, I think they were like 2-4, 2-5, something like that. And they somehow ended up finishing 8-8. There's just been a lot of years like that. So I don't see any way they can finish under that 8-win threshold. I'm going to say 9. I want to say they're going to go 9-8. They're going to be competitive every week. And look, Mitch Trubisky, he's received a lot of flack in the past. A lot of dirt's been thrown on his name. But when you look at his overall record, I mean, he's really not that bad of a quarterback. And now that we've seen kind of Matt Nagy and how he faded out being a fan favorite that was able to make the playoffs the first or at least be competitive the first few years that he was on the Bears, being a head coach. And then you saw after how he kind of collapsed and his offense was terrible. And then now I see people actually applauding Mitch Trubisky being able to get that offense to the playoffs twice. So, I mean, you look at his career at record, he's 29-21, 64 touchdowns, 38 interceptions. I don't think he's going to wow you. I don't think he's going to win you games necessarily, but he's not going to lose you games either. And I think the Steelers having a quarterback like that, it's good enough to get them 9 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit lower on the Steelers than you. I have them winning 8 games, which I think that would be Mike Tomlin's first losing season. I think he's had a winning season every time he's coached, but I think, you know, Big Ben has been their quarterback throughout those entire, you know, throughout that entire stretch. And, you know, Big Ben, like we were saying earlier, like he was on his last leg, but he's a guy that knows, you know, how to perform in the big moments. He's been there. He's a veteran guy. And, you know, he can figure out ways to win. I think this time, though, if they're going to be playing a Mitch Trubisky or a Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett, I think that could be, you know, a detriment to this team. But look, this team's very good still. I think 8 wins is reasonable. And I think, you know, you kind of mentioned a bunch of names, you know, like Najee Harris, who had a very good rookie season. Their offensive line, I don't think, is very good. But having a guy like Deontay Johnson, who just got paid a new 2-year extension recently, he's going to be with the team for a little bit longer. Chase Claypool, if he can be a little bit more of an impact player this season, that would be great. But I'm interested in seeing how George Pickens does his training camp and how he's been playing. You know, he had a great touchdown in last night's game in the preseason. His rise to the top has been kind of cool to watch. And I think he's going to be someone that really could elevate his game into the regular season. I think he's kind of entrenched himself as the Steelers wide receiver 3 at this time, and maybe he could even surpass Chase Claypool. It's entirely possible at this rate. But this defense, obviously the story. TJ Watt was defensive player of the year. Minkah Fitzpatrick had a little bit of a down year, but he got his new contract. I think he's due for a little bit of a bounce back season. You got Cameron Hayward, who, you know, still a very good player at age 32. I believe he was an All-Pro last year. So this Steelers team, like, they'll figure things out, and I think 8 wins is pretty reasonable for them. I think, you know, again, having a quarterback problem a little bit there could be a detriment to this team. But I mean, looking at their schedule, like, you know, you got the Jets in there. They could beat the Patriots at home. You have you got the Carolina Panthers in there. You have the Cleveland Browns, who may be without Deshaun Watson. So, like, their schedule, they have the Falcons as well. So, like, they have some winnable games in there. I think Pittsburgh is a team that just kind of usually, I think, stays in a lot of games. I think Coach Tomlin is one of the better coaches in the league. And I think the Steelers could, you know, they can have some upset victories. But I think 8 wins for this team is pretty reasonable. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see how the quarterback battle shakes up if Kenny Pickett gets his opportunity. But there'll be a good defense, and, you know, they have the weapons on offense. So I think they'll be relatively competitive. And I mean, they could win, you know, I could see them winning 9 games and maybe clinching a wild card spot. I mean, they did it last year, you know, like, you can't really count out the Steelers, but I think 8 wins is kind of where I see this team at right now.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. I think, like I said, going below the 8 wins is definitely not possible for them, just because of how much experience they still have on the defensive side of the ball. And even on the offensive side of the ball, they have a lot of names that, you know, I was able to list previously. But I guess we'll go on to the second team now, which is the Browns. They're over under, I believe, actually dropped this last week after the news of the Deshaun Watson suspension. It went from 9.5 to 8.5, which makes sense considering he's going to be suspended. Right now it's at 6, no? Or 8? What's it at now?
I believe it's at 8.5 wins right now. So,
and what's Watson's suspension at right now? Is it 8?
Right now we're at 6 games. So, and that could change too. Like, the NFL is appealing it. They want a longer suspension. Watson has said that he would accept an 8-game suspension, but I mean, it could be an indefinite suspension. So it's kind of still up in the air right now, but I do think it'll be, if I were to give a guess, I think he'll get like 8 or 10 games. So he'll get a couple more games or 4 more games added to what he has right now.
Yeah. So the question with that is, can the Browns survive being competitive without Deshaun Watson? And I think the question is definitely yes. I think, like, on the offensive side of the ball, having Nick Chubb, having Kareem Hunt, at least for now, I mean, he kind of wants a trade out of there from what I've heard, but he's probably going to be a member on the opening day roster. And then they brought in Amari Cooper. This offense is completely different from last year. I think it's going to be different. I mean, if Deshaun Watson's on the field this year, it's still yet to be seen. But the problem is that they're giving their future away for, again, a guy where even though now there's a little bit more clarity on his future, I mean, who knows if he's going to be back and he's going to be the Deshaun Watson that we knew back in 2017, 2018, 2019. What if he's completely different? What if he, you know, lost a step? I mean, losing a year from playing football is not easy to just make a comeback. And I think a lot of people believe it's going to be a given that he's going to be back and he's going to play 100% immediately. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, the Browns are a very good unit. The Browns have a lot of depth. I mean, obviously, you have, you know, the guy that just loves Mason Rudolph so much.
Miles Garrett.
You have him and, man, who else do they have on the defensive side of the ball? There's like
Denzel Ward. Javion Clowney's back. They got Greg Newsom, who was a rookie last season, who played pretty well. And then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who was another rookie last year, who played very well. So, I mean, the Browns have a pretty good unit, and you have one of the better defensive players in the NFL, a guy who I think could win Defensive Player of the Year, and Myles Garrett. I think he's due. He's a very, very good player, one of the best edge rushers in football. And then, you know, like this team, I think it's still going to be pretty good. You have a great offensive line. I know they lost their center, Nick Harris, to a season-ending injury, but you still got Wyatt Teller. You still got Jack Conklin. You still have Joel Bitonio, Jedrick Wills. This was Football Outsider DVOA's number one ranked offensive line last season. Look, and Jacoby Brissett, like, he's going to be the starting quarterback week one. And, you know, to talk about him, like, I don't think Jacoby Brissett's a bad quarterback. I think, you know, we've seen him in spot starts play pretty well. I think he's a very good backup quarterback, and I think he'll hold his own. But he also kind of caps the Browns' ceiling a little bit. And the Browns are going to have to really rely on the running game, which is a good thing. I mean, their running game might be the best in the NFL. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Darius Johnson, Jerome Ford. You have a lot of weapons there in the running game department. I mean, you might be training Kareem Hunt, but Darius Johnson was very good last season. So you kind of have that next man up, and they're very deep at that position. If Amari Cooper can stay healthy, that's a big if. You have a number one receiver, and then you have some other guys who can step up as well. So I don't know. I do think Cleveland's got a good roster. Obviously, not having Deshaun Watson is going to hurt. And you go to Jacoby Brissett, who is a downgrade, but I think Brissett will, you know, he'll be relatively fine. I think he'll win some games for the Browns. So sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to go and predict that the Browns are going to win 7 games. That's kind of where I see them right now.
Wow, that's low. I'm shocked. I mean, I have them around that too, just because I think that this whole thing with Deshaun Watson is just going to overshadow their entire season. I mean, obviously, with all the accusations he has on him, I think that there is going to be talk in the locker room about him. I don't know if everybody on there is on board with him being there. I mean, from what I've heard, Myles Garrett's okay with him being there, and there's a lot of other guys that are kind of more of having a forgiving attitude and just looking forward to playing football. But I think there's definitely some guys in that locker room that aren't going to trust him as a leader from day one. And I think there is going to be issues with chemistry. Even if Deshaun Watson plays 10 games and during those 10 games, he goes, I don't know, maybe he has 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions and rushes for 3. I don't know, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. If he shows that he can still play football, it's like, and miraculously they make the postseason. I just don't see them getting that far because of the chemistry. And also, I mean, the AFC, when you really look at it, there's a lot of teams that are competitive. So I think with that being said, I'm going to go with 7 as well. Again, I think it is on the lower end, but just seeing all the odds are stacked against them chemistry wise this year, I think it's going to be too little too late from Deshaun Watson. And I think Nick Chubb, though, that's not taken away from Nick Chubb or what Myles Garrett are capable of doing with their individual accomplishments this year. I think both of them are going to have great seasons. However, I just don't see this team going that far.
Right. I mean, you got the Chargers, you have the Patriots, the Ravens, the Bengals, obviously in your division, Tampa Bay this season, New Orleans. Like, there's some tough matchups. And like, if you don't have Deshaun Watson for say you don't have Deshaun Watson for 8 games, if he gets 2 more games, like, you know, you have Carolina, that's going to be Baker Mayfield's revenge game. I could see the Panthers winning that game. The Jets, like, that's a winnable game. You got the Steelers, that's winnable. You got the Falcons, it's winnable. But then, like, no, you have some tough games in there. And then it's like, can this Browns team kind of climb back? Like, they could. They have a lot of good pieces on this team. Like, I'm not questioning their team's talent, but like I said, Jacoby Brissett, he's a fine quarterback. I don't think he's like an everyday starting quarterback, but he's a good backup, and he's a guy that can come in and win games and be solid enough to do that. But again, like I was saying, he kind of caps the Browns ceiling a little bit, I think. And I think defenses are going to kind of lean in on Nick Chubb in the running game. And that, you know, I think that's going to be a lot of defenses' focal points. And then if you lose Amari Cooper, he's been a guy who has had injury concerns. If you lose him for the season, like, outside of Donovan Peoples-Jones and like rookie David Bell, there's really not much receiving options that they have. So you're kind of already thin at that spot if Amari Cooper goes down. And he's been a guy that's dealt with lower body injuries, the ankle injuries. And that's something I do worry about too. So I think 7 wins is fine. This is a very good roster. I think Myles Garrett has a very real shot of winning Defensive Player of the Year this year as well. And this should be a good unit. But again, not having a quarterback like Deshaun Watson for could potentially be the entire season too. And if that's the case, then I think they can lose a little bit more games. But that's a big if right now. And it's a big thing that's kind of clouding over this team. And yeah, I just think that Jacoby Brissett kind of brings a ceiling for this Browns team and they don't make the playoffs this season. So I have them winning 7 games. I think that's fair for the talent, for the rest of the talent that they have on this team.
All right, man. I think we're both in agreement with that, that the Browns, a big thing that's hindering them for sure is, you know, bringing back a guy that, he's going to be suspended, but then you have him coming back to potentially not even having Amari Cooper if he's been down. And like you said, he's had injury concerns in the past. And then, you know, you have Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, I believe his name is, David Bell, who they drafted. So there's really a lot of question marks there too. So I think because of that, I just don't see them going that far. But we'll go into the Ravens because this is a team I'm really intrigued by this year. I mean, I think, like, to be honest, I did not look up a single stat of theirs from last season because I don't think it even matters. Like, this team lost the last 6 games of their season, but even the fact that they made it to 8-9 is just miraculous because they lost their number one RB, number two RB, and number three RB with, like, torn ACLs before week 1. I mean, they lost Gus Edwards, they lost Dobbins, and they lost Justice Hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're 3 guys, which is – I've never seen anything like that happen before. They're cornerbacks. They had 4 cornerbacks, 5 cornerbacks on the IR last year. This team was so decimated by injuries. I don't think I've ever seen a team this injury destroyed in my life. So I don't think last year even matters at all. I don't put that against John Harbaugh. I don't put any of that against Lamar Jackson. I think there were some games where he struggled where I think there were some question marks. But then again – I think it is definitely justified because of just how many injuries they had. And I mean, they brought in Dante Freeman, right?
Devontae Freeman former Falcons.
Yeah. And I mean, he contributed when he could, but they didn't really have that much running back depth. They had none, obviously, due to their injuries. I mean, their best wide receiver target was Marquise Brown, but I mean, he actually was, I believe, wide receiver 6 through the first 8 or 9 games in for PPR leagues, but then he kind of dropped off after that. So look, and he's gone, and now, you know, they're kind of starting over with the wide receiver position, and they have Bateman. You're big into him, right?
Yeah, I really like Rashad Bateman a lot. I loved him coming out of Minnesota in college, and I think he just kind of fits like that number one type of receiver prototype. And he was someone who, you know, watching his tape at Minnesota, he was a very good route runner. He had great hands, athleticism. Like, he had all the tools and everything. But, you know, last season he dealt with a lower body injury. I believe it might have been an ankle injury, if I'm not mistaken. So that kind of took him out for a while. But he came back and he had some pretty good games. Not a lot of reps with Lamar Jackson necessarily, but I thought he looked pretty good. But outside of him and like Mark Andrews, obviously, like they don't have too many weapons in the passing game. Like they're dealing with a lot of injuries too. Like Tylan Wallace is dealing with injuries. Even Rashad Bateman himself is dealing with injuries. Devin Duvernay and James Prochet, like, so their receiving room's kind of banged up right now, and that could be a concern. But I really like the Ravens. And like you were mentioning, like in terms of like their injuries, I mean, all three of the running backs, Lamar Jackson himself missed time. Ronnie Staley was injured, I believe. I think he's still injured, Ronnie Staley. You had who else? There was Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters who missed time. Like they had a lot of injuries on this team, and they were starting some practice squad guys in that secondary. And you saw Cincinnati and like Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins absolutely tear them up in the division. Like that secondary was so poor. But the Ravens, when we talked about the draft, I thought the Ravens had a phenomenal draft. They drafted my favorite player in the draft, Kyle Hamilton. You had Tyler Linderbaum, who I was very high on. He was the best center, in my opinion, in the draft. And, you know, they had some other guys that they drafted that I think could be real contributors to this team. So they've made a lot of great moves in the draft. They brought in Marcus Williams to be their free safety from the New Orleans Saints, I believe. So, yeah, they have a very good team. And this is going to be, I think, a much better team. I think Lamar Jackson, look, right now the biggest thing with him is his contract extension. He wants one before the end of the season. I hope the Ravens do give it to him, because I think he is worth it. But, you know, when you do pay a quarterback, that window comes of, you know, whether or not you're going to win a championship, because once that contract kicks in, then it doesn't give your team a lot of flexibility to be able to make moves in the offseason. So I think this Ravens team, though, is very good. I think they'll be a much better team this year than they were last year because of the injuries. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to have a good season. I think it'll be a bounce back season for the Ravens. I thought they had a very good offseason in the draft, some pretty good free agency acquisitions as well from this team. And, you know, the receiver room, I think, is the biggest thing, because Rashad Bateman really needs to take that next step. But the Ravens, they're like more of a tight end heavy offense. So a guy like Isaiah Likely, who's been very good in the preseason, rookie from, I believe he went to Coastal Carolina. He's going to be someone I think could get featured more in the offense. And obviously Mark Andrews had an all-pro season last year. So a lot of two tight end sets, a lot of running the football, and Lamar Jackson is the best rushing quarterback in the NFL, maybe of all time. Like he's been that good. So he brings that dynamic to that offense. And obviously we have a very good head coach in John Harbaugh. So I think the Ravens, I have them winning 11 games this season. I think they'll be much better than they were last year. And I have them winning the division over Cincinnati.
Wow, man. Woo. I'm not going to say that it's that hot of a take, because I think a lot of people will agree with that. But at the same time, man, I was not expecting that. Wow, that's a pipe bomb.
That's how high I am on Lamar Jackson, how high I am on the Ravens, just making that bounce back. I really do think the injuries really hurt this team tremendously last season. And I think Lamar Jackson's going to be able to prove a lot of people wrong this season. I think he also added some muscle this offseason, so he's a little bit more bulkier. He's been putting in the work. So I do think that this team's going to be a lot better than they were last season. And I think 11 wins is kind of where I see them right now.
I don't see them really throwing that well this year, to be honest, just because of the wide receiver depth. I think that's a big question mark.
They don't even have to, though. That's the thing. Like, they don't have to, like, even when Lamar Jackson won the MVP, like, yes, it was like one of the most efficient seasons of all time, but he also was last in the NFL in passing yards for a starting quarterback. So like, they don't necessarily need to like throw the ball, but they'll be a very good rushing team. They'll get their guys back. Gus Edwards is still on the kind of question whether or not he'll come back week one, but J.K. Dobbins seems like he's going to be good to go. So, and maybe Mark Andrews, you know, has a little bit of a regression this season, but I think they'll figure it out. I think Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews are a very good connection. And again, just a better defense, a better offensive line. And yeah, I do think Rashad Bateman, if he's going to be healthy, is going to have a big season. I think he'll have 1,000 yards.
Well, for them, it's definitely about rushing. And I mean, like you said, I think they're definitely in that position where they're going to be able to have a lot of rushing yards once again. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping J.K. Dobbins is healthy. I mean, I did draft him in my redraft fantasy football league.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got some flack for it, but it's like you look at that RB depth chart, and it's like after that you have Gus Edwards, probably not going to be healthy week one. And then you have Mike Davis, who really mm-hmm. didn't do that much for the Falcons last year. So I think, like, J.K. Dobbins could be getting, if he stays healthy, a massive amount of touches. And I think it's going to be a really fun offense to watch to see Lamar Jackson, you know, being able to run again and J.K. Dobbins running behind him and then having an offensive line, which is, I mean, overall pretty solid compared to the league average. So, I mean, the Ravens, the thing about the Ravens and the Steelers and why I'm so much more confident in them having – you know, a higher amount of wins than the Browns is just the team culture that's around them. And just the fact that through years and years and years, they've been able to build this culture. They have a solid foundation, and the Browns, you just don't know what you're going to expect with that whole situation. Yeah. So I definitely have the Ravens winning. I'm going to go 9 games.
That's fair. You
know, I'll go 10.
Okay.
I'll hit 10 with them. But I think it's just, again, just about the culture, and they'll be in it.
Oh, they will be. I mean, again, you're getting so many guys back from injury. Yeah, maybe they need a little bit of time to, you know, get back to playing football from their injuries. I mean, a lot of these guys missed the entire season due to their injuries. So maybe the Ravens start off a little bit slow, but I do think this team will – I just think this team's going to win the division and kind of just remind everybody how good they really are.
And shout out Justin Tucker, a.k.a. the record holder for longest field goal in NFL history, you know, did it in a walk-off fashion against my team, the Detroit Lions. Ah. But, you know, there's no hate there. You know, it's still – I mean, hey, he's one of the best kickers in the league, maybe one of the best to ever do it. So,
yeah,
he's – I mean, I think kicking is so underrated, and just to have, like, a kicker that can actually, you know, hold his own every week, and you need 5 kicks, he's going to deliver all 5 of them, and I think that's huge. So – to have that, it's definitely a huge plus for a football team, and that's another reason why I think the Ravens could have a bit of an advantage with those close games.
Yeah, special teams is very underrated, something that we don't really talk about too much. I mean, we brought up Matt Araiza at the beginning of the show, but yeah, shout out to Justin Tucker to get that his new contract extension, well-deserved, best kicker in the NFL by far.
And finally, we are going to be talking about the Bengals, the team that made it to the Super Bowl last year. Out of nowhere, man. I mean, the amount of times that they proved us wrong and I think we picked against them is pretty historic. But it's incredible to see that Joe Burrow was able to really recap or rebound from the year before where he tore his ACL, tore a bunch of things in his knee, came back, and was able to at least make the Super Bowl. Definitely very impressive from a second-year quarterback. And he was able to do this despite having the third most sacks against him in the NFL. The Bengals allowed, I believe, 55 sacks last year. And they had a horrible offensive line. And in the offseason, from what I saw, they definitely made an effort to upgrade that. They drafted a guy in the 4th round. They were able to sign three offensive linemen, or at least 3 notable offensive linemen. And Ted Kadas, who he played for the Patriots for a while, overall good sign. Alex Kappa, who was on the Bucs last year and was able to play a pretty big role for the Bucs and protecting Tom Brady. And, I mean, they also signed a guy that used to play for the Cowboys named Lael Collins. And from what I've seen, I mean, these are definitely some pretty big acquisitions. You don't hear a lot about the offensive line. But the Bengals really don't have that many holes. I mean, their biggest gap really is their offensive line, and they've been able to at least – do everything in their power to build an offensive line where they can feel confident won't be one of the worst in the NFL this year. And I mean, do you have any comments on that, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, look, Cincinnati went on an unprecedented run last season. I think, you know, I saw people predict that they would win 2 games last season, and they ended up winning 10 games in the regular season, and then beat the Raiders, you beat the Titans, you beat the Chiefs, and you came pretty close to beating the Rams in the Super Bowl. This team, you know, obviously had a pretty – I mean, last offseason they made a lot of moves. You know, they brought in Trey Hendrickson. They brought in Eli Apple. You know, he was fine in the regular season, kind of got exposed in the Super Bowl. But Chidobe Awuzie was a good pickup for them in last offseason. DJ Reader, like, there were guys that they, you know, they signed last offseason that were big names on their defense. Then they, this offseason, like you were talking about, the offensive line, horrible last season. You know, this team, this offensive line was not great. And, you know, Joe Burrow, for, you know, there was a good reason why he was sacked, I believe, the most in the NFL last season. I believe he was sacked 60 times. Obviously, that's not all on his offensive line. I think that's on him too. Like, there's times where he's trying to do too much, hold on to the ball. So some of those sacks do fall on the quarterback, but obviously, you know, very poor offensive line. Brought in Ted Karras, you mentioned him, Alex Kappa, Lael Collins. Those are guys who, yo, they don't even have to be like Pro Bowlers. If Zwan is their like average starting offensive lineman and they're not like below average, it's a win. So like Alex Kappa was very good last season for the Bucs. Ted Karras is like, I would probably call him a relatively average offensive lineman. Lael Collins, he's, I think, around that average tier as well. So, I mean, those are guys that I think are going to just make the Bengals offensive line better. Not, I think it'll be, you know, not like a crazy amount better, but like they will be a better unit, which is great because gives Joe Burrow more time. That's going to be great for this Bengals team. And yeah, I mean, they were a team that was very good last season. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase, I've talked about him enough on this podcast, but he's someone who kind of changed their whole dynamic of that offense. He turned this team into a more explosive offense. I think the Bengals had the most explosive plays in the NFL last season. And the season before that, they were in the bottom tier. So Ja'Marr Chase turned things around for this team. You've got T. Higgins, who's an absolute dog. Love T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd, you know, very solid slot wide receiver. Joe Mixon, I'm very high on as well. This is a very good team, but I think people are getting a little bit too caught up in their Super Bowl run. Like, yes, it was very impressive. Joe Burrow, you know, he had his good games. There was a couple of bad games from Joe Burrow, but I think his defense really helped him out in some of those games. Seems like they're going to get Jesse Bates back, who is, I think, going to be, he's one of the better safeties in the NFL. And I think he's someone who last season, and especially in the playoffs, made a lot of big plays. It seems like he's going to play. I don't think he's going to hold out completely, which is great. So it's good news for the Bengals, but this team did win 10 games in the regular season. So I do think that I don't think they're going to take like this 12, 13 win jump. I think 10 wins is where I see this team finishing once again. I still got questions about Zach Taylor as a head coach. I don't know if he's the real deal yet. Maybe he can prove it to me this season, but this is still a very good team. I do think, you know, Joe Burrow really proved me wrong last season and was a very good quarterback. A top 10 quarterback, I would definitely say, is no doubt. And he's obviously got, you know, fantastic weapons and an upgraded offensive line. The defense, talked about them too. You know, some of these guys might take, you know, steps back. Maybe they're due for regression. Like, I don't think a lot of people could have predicted Chidobe Awuzie being in a great corner last season, or Eli Apple for that matter. So, you know, there's potential for those guys to kind of take a step back, but I think 10 wins is a fair assessment for this Bengals team. I don't think they're going to be like a 9-win team. I think 10 is fair. They won 10 games last season. I think this season I could see that happening once again. And I mean, that would be, you know, a borderline playoff team, if not a wild card team. So I think they can make it again. And Ja'Marr Chase taking that year to leap. We'll see how good he ends up being. T. Higgins getting better. Joe Mixon actually having a relatively decent offensive line to run behind should be exciting. So there's a lot of things I'm excited about, but I just don't feel like the Bengals are going to take that 12-win, 13-win jump. I think 10 wins is where I see this team finishing this year. And that's what they got last year. So, yeah, and there could be some regression, like I said, with some of their players on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, so I think 10 wins is where I kind of see this Bengals team finishing next year.
Yeah, another part that they kind of struggled with last year was their defensive backs. And they drafted 3 overall, you know, a cornerback and 2 safeties.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done a lot to try to upgrade what they already have. Again, I don't think it's going to necessarily translate to maybe more regular season success, because I feel like already, you know, they're in a the competitive division. Like I said, and I don't know how much more wins I can see them really receiving this year, but I definitely think they'll be at the top of their division again. I mean, I'll say 11 wins. I'll say they're going to finish 11-6. And, you know, Joe Burrow, I mean, hopefully him and Ja'Marr Chase have a great season, because in that redraft league as well, I drafted the both of them. So hopefully it works out. But I think that they're going to definitely have a lot of success this year. And, I mean, I definitely cannot see them losing more than, seven games.
Yeah, and, yeah, like, they're a very good team. I question whether or not they peaked already. Like, I don't know if this team I can see making the Super Bowl again anytime soon, but I mean, you got Joe Burrow, who's still on his rookie contract. Ja'Marr Chase is on his. Joe Mixon's locked up. T. Higgins is on his rookie contract. So, like, your window is right now. Like, you got to win a Super Bowl, you know, before you got to pay Joe Burrow you probably end up paying Joe Burrow as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, because that's just how quarterback contracts are. And obviously Justin Herbert will get his probably around that same time too. So you got to win a Super Bowl before you pay those guys big time money, top dollar money for the quarterback position. So the Bengals got to do it again. I just feel like last season, like they went on such an unprecedented run, like beating Kansas City and Arrowhead was, you know, that was an upset. Beating the Tennessee Titans, you know, in Tennessee was an upset, right? Like, there were a lot of people who just continued to doubt this Bengals team. I bought in when they made the Super Bowl. I picked them. They did not win. I believe I picked the Bengals. I forget. But this team feel like is I think they're still going to be a very good team. And I think 10 wins is kind of where I see them. And I just don't think that, like, they're going to, because of their Super Bowl run, they're going to take like this number one AFC seed jump and be the best team in the AFC. They'll be a very good team in the AFC and a loaded AFC. And I do still think they'll make the playoffs. Like they have that in them, and yeah, they got the personnel to do it. So I could see it.
Yeah. That's all I got on the Bengals. I think this division in its entirety is going to be really, really competitive, really hard hitting. I'm looking forward to seeing all the action in this division this year. I think they're definitely one of my top three divisions in the NFL to watch. And it's going to be fun to see how the Ravens get back and how the Browns try to, you know, do something with the mess that they have. It's interesting though, because it's not like a complete mess with the Browns. It's a mess that contains a lot of talent and a lot of personalities. So
yeah,
it's going to be a fun season. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And AFC North produces a lot of like the best NFL rivalries and a lot of great games. Like, I think every single AFC North game is going to be fun to watch. And like, honestly, like I could see any of these teams winning the division. Like, it's certainly possible. Like, you know, if Deshaun Watson stays at six games, who knows if he takes Cleveland on this undefeated run, they win the division. And Pittsburgh, he can never count them out. Right. And Cincinnati, like I only have them one game off from the Ravens. So like, these games are going to be fun to watch, and I'm very excited to kind of keep track of this division.
Same here, man. Going to be fun.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's it for this week's episode of Rough in the Basket. Again, make sure you guys go check out the other AFC edition episodes. We've done all of them now up until this point. And then, like I mentioned also at the beginning of the episode, the NFC North edition will be coming out in a couple more days at the release of this episode. So, make sure you guys tune into that one. And football season's right around the corner, so me and Noah will be wrapping up these divisions before the season starts. And obviously we're covering football from the moment the first snap takes place again with the Rams and the Bills. So should be looking forward to that. And yeah, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Rough the Basket. You can follow us on Instagram at Rough in the Basket. Noah talked about the reels really doing well. And, you know, we've always been loving making those reels for you guys. And the support has been, you know, has been fantastic. So just a quick thank you to everyone who has liked those reels and watched them, and follow us on Instagram at Rough in the Basket to keep up with the podcast and those reels. Follow me on Twitter at BCar_13. And you can follow Noah on Instagram at MBurnt37. Got anything this week, Noah?
All I'm saying is the definition of America is watching football on a Sunday afternoon, some wings in one hand, a beer in another hand, I'm looking forward to this season. It's coming up so soon, man. I think we're like, what, 3.5 weeks away from the start of the real season?
We are so close. September 8th. So we're recording this August 14th. So we're right around the corner. Like, it's so exciting. Football season's easily my favorite time of the year. And yeah, like Noah said, could have a Bud Light in my hand. Could be turned on NFL Red Zone and watching football week one. I can't wait. But thank you guys so much for listening to Rough in the Basket this week. And we will see you next time. Peace out.